physically familiar. We're talking about heart matters. We're looking at the life of David, a lot of different circumstances and situations that David faced, to learn how we can, from the heart, respond to God in similar situations that we find ourselves in. Before we begin our study, though, I want to remind you about our second Sunday Bible study. For those of you who maybe got confused, we had it in the Wednesday night bulletin this past Wednesday that it was actually today, but it's not today. Chuck feels a whole lot better about that. He's not panicking anymore. That was our mistake. It's actually the second Sunday is when we're doing that, okay? So we have a Bible study, 5 o'clock over at their house, and then time of fellowship. And so we want to encourage you to come to that, and we'll be talking about just doing some follow-up study on the lesson that we do next Sunday morning. So that's what we'll be doing there, okay? Amen. Now, we're talking this morning, as we look at the life of David, probably one of the most familiar stories in the life of David that is amongst people. In other words, everybody knows the story of David and Goliath. We're talking about facing our giants. Okay, and what does how does that fit into our lives today? Well, let's begin by talking about the fact that there were giants in the land. In other words, when the story of David and Goliath, when David is facing Goliath, that is not the first time that the Israelites had to face giants.
Right.
Okay, we go back to the time when Israel came out of the land of Egypt. They were in bondage and they were freed from the land of Egypt. And they had made it to the border of the promised land. And Moses sent out, you guys help me with this, Moses sent out 12 spies, okay? There were 12 men that were sent to Canaan, right? And 10 were bad and 2 were good. Okay, well, what was it that made the 10 bad and the 2 good? Okay, well, they went out and they spied the land, and they brought back some of the fruit of the land with them, and they gave their report to Moses and the others, and basically here's kind of what happened. They said, we went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit, but the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. And look at this. We even saw the descendants of Anak there.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, they go on to start telling their story. All right? We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. This is the report of the 10 spies, 10 who were... Okay? We can't do this. They're too powerful. Mm-hmm. All right? Look at this next statement that it makes here. The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And we looked the same to them. So here's the Israelites, these spies that went in, they looked and they saw these giants and they said, they're too powerful for us, they're too big, we cannot take this land. Well, that was the 10. You remember the other 2, what did they say? They said, with God on our side, we can take this land. We should go into this land.
Amen.
But the people listened to the 10. And Israel then, because they were afraid, because they were afraid of the giants, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years until all that generation had died. 40 years later, they came back and they went into the land of Canaan. 400 years later now, the Israelites are facing giants again. This time it is the Israelites against the Philistine army. And there is that Goliath, that giant who is over 9 feet tall, the Bible tells us. Now, in order for you to get a perspective, what exactly is 9 feet tall look like? Okay? Well, Here's just a little diagram here, just kind of help you put that in perspective a little bit. You've got a 7-year-old child, an average height of a 10-year-old child, average light of a man, okay? And then in the blue there is the height of Goliath. And you see how much bigger he really was, okay? Now, they say a picture is worth a thousand words, okay? But I want you to picture something different, all right? I actually got a tape measure and I measured this. You see the ring that is on the bottom of the chandeliers in here? That ring is 9 feet from the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I wonder how that happened. That it is 9 feet from the floor. Somewhere along the line when this chandelier was being put up there, God knew that we're going to use this illustration anyway. That's another thing. 9 feet. Now, the Bible says he was over 9 feet. So, you know, you could probably look at that big ball at the bottom, and that would kind of be like, you know, that's where his head was. So just kind of stand here, and you look at that, and you realize that's how tall Goliath was.
Well,
okay, does that kind of help you get a different perspective of how big this guy was that David is going up against? All right? Now, we all face giants of one kind or another in our lives, don't we?
Yeah.
There are giants that I think maybe we could put into the category of sin struggles that we face. And, you know, this thing on here shows a lot of different things like, you know, there's unforgiveness, there's pride, and all of those kinds of things that Satan just attacks us with and we struggle with. And sometimes they just seem to be overwhelming, don't they? And then over on the end, I put a couple other things on there that are the kind of, you know, giants that we face that are kind of issue-oriented, like family problems and illnesses that we face and financial troubles and all kinds of stuff that we look at in our lives and we face these things and they just seem to be so big. Huge problems that we have to deal with. And at times, they seem to be overwhelming. In other words, we look at the problem, we say, they are so huge, they are so big, there is no way I could overcome this problem, this giant of a problem, if you will. Kind of like, you know, the Israelites were when they're standing there and they're facing this huge, over 9 foot tall giant. So there is no way that anybody can conquer this giant. And I think that's one of the messages that Satan gives to us are the giants that you and I face in our lives on a regular basis. There's no way you can overcome this giant. So you may as well just get in. And what that causes and what it does to us is it brings us into a mode of fear. And we find ourselves just like the army of Israel that was trembling in fear at the idea of having to face Goliath on the battlefield. Because you see, Goliath had issued a challenge, and he came down every day for 40 days. He came out and he mocked the army of Israel. He said, look, he said, and this is, by the way, this is traditionally oftentimes how battles were settled. You know, you watch the movies, and oftentimes it's these millions of guys that are just attacking one another. But oftentimes what they would do is each have a champion. And the champion of each side would fight, and whoever won, that decided the battle. And that's what Goliath was calling upon the Israelites to do. Send me out your champion. Send me someone who'd be willing to fight me. And nobody would, because everybody, including King Saul, were hiding away. They were afraid.
Well,
just like oftentimes you and I can get of the giants that we face in our lives. So let's take a look at David, okay? Who is a man after God's own heart. What was it about David and him facing this giant that allowed him to be victorious on the battlefield? Right? Because you and I are facing challenges in our lives every day. Giants, overwhelming. So what can we learn from David that will allow us to be victorious in the same way? Well, the first thing that I want you to think about is that David got his story. Okay, David got historical. Now, there's a story about a husband and wife who went to a marriage counselor, and they sat down in the marriage counselor's office, and they started talking, and the husband says to the marriage counselor, he says, look, The problem is, every time we get together, we start talking about something, my wife gets historic. And the counselor says, wait a minute, don't you mean hysterical? And he said, no, she gets historical. I mean, she starts going back and reminding me of every bad thing I have ever done. Okay, so she's getting historic, and that's sometimes what happens. Well, we oftentimes do that with the negative things in our life, don't we? We get historic and we focus on those negative bad things. David did just the opposite. David got historical with God, okay? Looking at his history, and what he did was he focused on the past success with God as his champion. Man. David went back and thought about all the ways that God had given him victories. Whatever it was that David was facing. Okay? Here's the situation. Goliath goes out and he calls upon the army of Israel. He's defying them, okay? Now, David had gone to the battlefield. He had been, you know, going back and forth. His father Jesse was sending him back and forth to see his brothers, to bring them provisions and so forth. And on this particular occasion, David went to take some food to his brothers, and he went to the battlefield, and he heard Goliath say these things. This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other. On hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. That was their condition. They were scared to death. Now, we talked earlier about Saul. You know, we were talking about, you know, leadership. And Saul, when he was picked to be king, he was the biggest guy around. Now, admittedly, he wasn't as big as Goliath, okay? But by rights, being king and being the biggest guy around, Saul should have been the one to go and face Goliath.
Amen.
But he was hiding away just like all the rest of his army. They were afraid. Well, David heard what this Philistine said. And David went to Saul and he said, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him.
Yes.
Now, Saul's reaction to David coming to him like this is this. You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are, look at this, it says, only a boy. And he has been a fighting man from his youth. Now, I want to talk about that statement for just a second here, because I think it's because of this statement by Saul that we get this misunderstanding or misimpression that David was just maybe this little 10 or 12 year old little boy, and most of the pictures for our children's, you know, Bible classes and coloring books, they oftentimes show David as being this little, you know, 10 or 12 year old shepherd boy going against this big Goliath. Well, that's not what the Bible really teaches. When he's saying you're only a boy, it's, you know, putting it in perspective, Saul was an older man. Goliath, he's saying, was a seasoned warrior. So by comparison to them, yeah, I mean, he's a boy. I look at some of you younger guys out here, I look at Chuck, and he's just a boy. You know? Jerry looks at me and says, you're just a boy. He's saying. So we need to understand it kind of in that perspective. The reason I say that is let's look at just before all of this is taking place, okay? In chapter 16, Saul is being tormented by these evil spirits, and he wants somebody to come and be able to play a harp and soothe him and so forth. And one of his servants says, I've seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the horn, the harp. Look at what he says here. He is a brave man and a warrior. Now, who would say that about a 12-year-old boy? You say? He speaks well and is a fine-looking man. So, obviously, I mean, this happens before the Goliath thing. Obviously, David is a man. He's a young man. Okay? But he is most likely of what is referred to in the Bible in that particular time. He is of fighting age.
Man.
Okay? So, he's not this, you know, little 10 or 12-year-old little boy. All right?
Man.
Look at what else it says here about him. And the Lord is with him.
Yes.
That makes all the difference in the world right there, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
Okay? Now, David goes on to explain, and this is where he gets historic. Okay? He says, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. He's saying, look, you know, I've been taking care of my sheep and the lions have come, the bears have come, and the Lord has always given me the ability to take care of them. I've snatched the sheep right out of their mouth. God has always given me what I needed to take care of those things. Now, you know, somebody said, as I was doing some study on this and all this, I read somebody was talking about saying, you know what, I'd a whole lot rather go up against a 9 foot tall Goliath than a bear. Think about that. I mean, what's a over nine foot tall man when you've been facing a bear? Okay? So David had all the confidence in the world, not in himself, but in what God had always done for him. You see? So David got historical. Now, how often do you get historical with God? As you face the giants in your life, okay, do you focus on the ways that God has helped you in the past? What is your history with God? That's really the question. See? It's not a question of whether you're going to face giants in your life today. But do you get historical? You go back and you recall what God has always done in the past. So you can be able to face those giants that you're facing with the confidence that God. Then he took his staff in his hand and he chose five smooth stones from the stream and put them in the pouch of the shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. Okay? So David goes up against this Philistine with a sling, five smooth stones in his bag, and his shepherd's staff. Okay? Now, here's the issue that you need to understand. David knew how to use a sling. A sling was a common weapon of war and defense and protection at that particular time. And I read somewhere where they say that a person who was really good with a sling could hit a target. In other words, they were effective up to 100 yards. That's the length of a football field, people.
Man. Yes, sir.
Okay? David knew how to use a sling. He was proficient in it, apparently. Now, you ask, might ask yourself, people have, why did he need five stones? Why did he get five stones out of the creek if he only used one? Did he kind of wonder whether God was going to let the first one hit its target, or maybe he might have to practice a few times and maybe fling a couple of warning shots by Goliath's head or whatever? Why five stones instead of just one? Did he not have enough faith in his, you know, God's ability to help him just hit him the first time? Well, I don't think that was it at all. The Bible indicates to us that Goliath had four brothers. Yeah. And, you know, you don't know whether you're going to have to face those other four brothers out there on that same battlefield after you take care of this one. So he got five smooth stones out of the creek. Now, what we find is you read over in 2 Samuel, David later on in his mighty men would dispense with those other four. Okay? In other battles that they would have.
Amen.
All right? But David went against Goliath with a sling and these five smooth stones. And that's what he used to kill that giant. Do you know how to use your weapon? The Bible tells us that the sword of the Spirit is our weapon. That is the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
Man. As you face the giants in your life, how well do you know your weapon? The weapon that God has provided to you. See, we were talking about that idea this morning in our Bible class, weren't we? About knowing God's Word.
Yes.
We need to know our weapon. We need to be proficient in the use of that weapon that God has given to us. And use it much like Jesus did when he faced the temptations in the wilderness. Use the sword of the Spirit that God has given to fight the giants that you are going to face in your life. Okay? And then the third point here is that David put his trust where it counted. That made all the difference in the world. Okay? David said to the Philistine as he went out there to him, "You come at me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come at you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you defy." He came at him in the name of God, not in his own name, but in the name of God. Goliath mocked David when he saw David coming out there. "Am I a dog that you send this person out here to me?" But David knew what was going on. David did not trust in his own abilities. He trusted in God's ability to defeat that giant. And that was the difference between Saul and David. Where was Saul while all this was going on? He was up there in his camp, in the hills with his army hiding away. Down there on the battlefield. One had trust in God, and the other did not. Here's the other thing that David knew. Alright? He knew that that battle belonged to the Lord before that battle even started. When he went out there on that battlefield, he knew. He knew what was going to happen.
Amen.
He told Goliath what was going to happen. "I'm going to strike you down and I'm going to cut off your head." Why? Because it wasn't my battle, it's the Lord's battle. You see? And folks, we need to be able to have that same trust in God and whatever giant that we're facing in our lives, to be able to say to it, "I'm going to strike you down. You are not going to stand in my way." Because that battle belongs to the Lord. It doesn't belong to you. It's not yours, so don't take ownership of it. It belongs to God. And let Him fight that battle for you. And the way you do that is by doing what God wants you to do. Having a heart for Him. Okay? Here's a question for you. Think about it. If you fear the giants in your life, perhaps your trust is misplaced. Maybe you're putting your trust in yourself or in someone else and not in God. That's a challenge for you to think about. All right? All David had was faith and a rock when he defeated that giant. And all you need is faith and the rock to defeat yours. On your own, you're not going to be able to defeat it. But God has already won the victory. You can worry or you can trust God, but you can't do both, somebody said. Okay? It's one or the other. You can be like Saul and the army of Israel, hide up in the mountains and the hills, worry about what's going to happen, or you can trust God. What's it going to be? The wise man in Proverbs 3, verse 5, it typically reads in our text, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I like this translation of it. Basically, it says, trust the Lord completely. Don't ever trust yourself. I just kind of like that. Because that's really what that proverb is saying. Learn to trust the Lord. Don't trust yourself.
Amen.
You say, trust Him completely. Because that's what He wants us to do. Okay? It's about our focus. If you focus on the giant, then you're going to stumble. But if you focus on God, then your giant's going to come. You need to have that same spirit, that same heart that David had. Okay? And tell the giants that we face in our life, "You come at me with whatever it is that's coming at you with, but I come at you in the name of the Lord Almighty." The giants that we face in our lives, Satan is going to keep throwing at us. How we face those giants depends on where our heart is. The challenge that I issue to you today is look at those giants and don't be afraid of them. Don't hide from them. But face those giants, okay, just like David did. Remembering the history. Get historical. Okay? And know your weapon. And trust in God. And you'll defeat the giants that he throws at you. Chuck has chosen a song that we're going to use for an invitation. The invitation is extended to everyone. If maybe there are some giants that you're struggling with in your life and you need some help to overcome, we want to help you do that. There may be something else going on in your life that you need help or encouragement with. Let us know about that so we can do what we can to serve you. Someone here this morning who's not given their life to Christ, ready to do that. We want to give you the opportunity, if you believe.